Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. And we talked about what the guys feel. Again, yes, we're talking about the guys. The little things women do that just really turn them off. How about when there are no reciprocated feelings and efforts in this relationship? Yes, men are looking for women to reciprocate when they make a move. Yeah, no, nobody's looking to do something on their own. It's going to be one-sided. Nah. Come on, ladies, you have to do a little work. Also, what about a woman who doesn't hold herself to the same standards that a man does? So, you know, she'll put all of this in the, you know, what do you call that thing, the website, on the dating app, and when you look around, so what? She ain't got nothing out there. She's expecting all these six figures and all of this tall, dark, and handsome, and but yet there are no specifications for her out there. Yes. Well, you know, ladies, that's 2 weeks in a row we've talked about the things that men are looking for in a woman. And considering that he's looking to find a wife, you just want to, you know, make sure that you're doing the right thing. So between this week and last week, you want to make sure you pick up all the little tidbits. Don't say that it's due time when Pastor Steph did not prepare you for finding that special someone, or that someone special is prepared and ready to find you. Okay? All righty. Well, we also talked about, speaking of dating apps, the elderly man from Washington State who went on a dating site, and after a week, what is this thing with weeks? Oh, that's 7 days. You know, stop with that 7 days, a day of completion. Listen, he went on the dating app. He ended up finding someone he really liked. And after a week, they met up. He had her over. Well, not only was he inviting her, but he was inviting a friend. And the two of them drugged Mr. Curtis, 74 years old. And when he looked up, he was waking up, yes, and was missing quite a bit of his stuff, yes. Oh, come on, you know, had he been listening to his due time with Pastor Steph, he would have known not to mess with these people, especially after only 1 week. Well, when he woke up, he was missing several of his personal items, and unfortunately, he was able to tell somebody what went on, but unfortunately, he had been injected with fentanyl, yes, and he succumbed to this poisoning. You know, it's just not worth it. You know, I asked them yesterday. I was like, wow, y'all, we even have, you know, we have to deal with Grandpa on the dating app too. You know, our kids on the dating app, grandparents on the dating app, or parents, you know, elderly parents on the dating app. You know, when he woke up, they say he was missing his wallet, cell phone, house keys, car keys, driver's license, social security card. They stripped him of all of his personal items. And, you know, he wasn't expecting anything like that. You know, he thought he had himself a little tenderoni because, you know, she was in her 40s, and he thought that, you know, he had met someone nice, and I guess they were going to, you know, spend some time together. Well, unfortunately, she did not have the same thought. So let's be careful on these dating apps. Please do not trust these people. Please don't meet them in your home. Don't go to their home. You know, just take all the proper precautions that you need to take, okay? All righty. Well, you know, Monday morning, we always have the switch with Shantice. And switch tip number 182, be proactive. Here we are. Perfect example, you know, of when we need to be proactive. You know, if you're going to get on these dating apps, be proactive and protect yourself. You know, or are you going to wait to be reactive when the people in your home ripping you off? Now you're going to, you know, try to protect yourself when you shouldn't have had them in your house in the first place. No, be proactive and take precautions. Meet them on the outside. You know, make sure that you let somebody know where you're going, who you're meeting. Go with a group of people. Yeah, the first time you meet these people, you know, surprise them. Show up with your people. Be proactive in life. You know, if we're waiting to be reactive, most times something bad is going on. Not all the time, but most times. You know, something bad is happening, and now you're trying to save, you know, yourself from maybe embarrassment, or, you know, having to do some extra stuff later, or having to tell somebody something that you didn't want to tell them. So it really behooves you to, you know, just be ahead of the game from the very beginning. Okay? All righty. Well, that's how we spent our Monday morning. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Oh, yeah, as Brother Al would say, I have some stuff to talk to you about this morning. Yes, I did come up with some stories. And let's hope let's hope that, you know, we, I get some feedback and we can get to talking. You know, the Due Time crew, and I, you know, they're not the only people that I could talk to. I can talk to you too, and would love to chat with you too. So please make sure you join me. You know how to reach me. Holler back. I love to see what you have to say. All righty? All righty. Well, let's get this morning started. Let's go get that healthy breakfast. Let's tell somebody that it's Due Time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Do you have frequent nosebleeds? Abnormal bleeding after surgery or dental work? Heavy periods? Or a family history of bleeding? If so, you may have a bleeding disorder. For help finding a specialist in your area, go to www.athn.org/HTC Finder or call the National Hemophilia Foundation at 1-800-424-2634.
Again, welcome back to his Due Time with Pastor Steph. It's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, y'all. Are you ready? Are you ready to get this morning started? You know, giving God thanks that we are up and running. Yeah. We're up and running, and we're going to get to talking about some things, and I'm excited to be on a Tuesday morning. You know, I thought I was going to have a little better sleep last night, and oh my, I was up to like 4-something. This morning, looking at some crazy stuff on YouTube because I could not go to sleep. And I mean, some crazy stuff. These criminals, I just stumbled across a video where they had these criminals that got caught. And I was like, oh, Stephanie, go to bed. So I'm glad that I got some energy this morning so you and I can have a conversation. So what are we talking about this morning? You know, yesterday, I'm still kind of shaken from yesterday's stories. I don't know about you, you know. Shantice and I got to talking about the little boy, little Adrian, I believe his name was, you know, and how, you know, life is just, you know, things just happen in life, and it's sad when you can hear these stories and these people. You know, mom is getting money for something that she was negligent for. And I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine coming off, you know, $1 million. $1 million. You know what I said to myself? I said, you know, you tap dancing now with your $1 million. Your little boy is buried and... what you going to do? how long is that $1 million really going to last you? How long is that $1 million going to last you? You know, we think we have money, and that answers all of our issues. And no, no, sometimes people think the more money you have, the better off you'll feel. And I don't know. It don't always work like that. I'll tell you that much. So, you know, when you're reading these news stories each day, it really gives you a clear picture as to what this world is like. It really does. And if we're not paying attention, we are going to sink. And it really lets you know you really need to stay in, you know, in front of the Lord. Because I'm sure these people didn't think they'd be there. I'm sure they didn't think that they would be on the news. I'm sure they didn't think that they would, you know, be front and center. And they are. So just giving God thanks that he's just rescued us from being a newsline headliner. Speaking of headlines, we have spoken about this TikTok over and over and over and over again. And let me tell you, just in case you have not heard, they are trying to really ban TikTok in the United States. Now, they were talking about this some time ago, about banning TikTok here, because remember, some other countries have already done so. Now, the interesting part about the U.S. banning TikTok, they're banning, looking to ban TikTok for an entirely different reason than what we'd say they need to ban TikTok for. Now, they're saying they're trying to ban TikTok because, you know, it's owned by China, and they're worrying about, you know, once we put these apps on our devices, that it risks them getting into our business, our personal stuff, and, you know, they can't be trusted, which is why they tell us don't, you know, put the, what's that, Temu, however you pronounce that thing. And they're saying that TikTok's a threat to our national security. Now, we are talking about not just that, but look at all the damage TikTok has done to our young people. You know, we just talked last week about, you know, some challenge that the little boys were doing when they were having a sleepover and cost one of the little boys his life. I think he was, what, 11? If he was even that old, like 10, 11 years old. And we are constantly talking about the fact that, you know, TikTok is really not the best thing, you know, for social media. And it's been a mess since it's been out. It really has. And, you know, some people say, I don't have social media because, you know, it don't mean no good. And, you know, it's always problems. Let me tell you something. Like I've said to you many times, every single guest, and I know a lot of people. When I tell you a lot of people, I know a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you something. Very few people that I already knew, because I haven't really met, you know, anybody since It's Due Time's been on. All my people, very few of them have been on It's Due Time. We have spent, since 2016, when It's Due Time got started, almost every guest, I can say 97% of the guests were found on Facebook. Didn't know these people, never met them, and I have formed some really nice relationships. So social media is really what you make it. I'm not on there arguing with people and airing my business and all of this kind of stuff. So really, you know, whatever you log on to do is what it means to you. So you can't be down in social media. It's been a really good source and to us, and it's been quite a blessing. But this TikTok has really been one big mess with his stupid challenges and things like that. Now, you've got this picketing that's been going on from the American people, and they've got signs out there like, TikTok helped me grow my business, and TikTok changed my life for the better, and what is this? I'm one of 170 million Americans on TikTok. Well, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. And for those of us who know the Lord, we know that, hey, other doors will open if they shut this thing down. Well, they have the bill that's been passed. You know, it's gotten past, you know, one level with a 352 to 65 vote. And they're saying that President Biden is ready to sign as well, and you know, they're hoping that, you know, it'll go somewhere. And of course, you have the TikTok owners who are not, you know, all that excited about, you know, being banned from here. But my thing is, then if you are all that concerned, then do something about, you know, what your content. Do something about your content. You know, they're claiming that, you know, so many people in the United States and the small businesses, they said they have 7 million small businesses that are using TikTok, and, you know, their service is valuable to them. So, I don't know. I'm hoping, I am one that is really, I'm really hoping that this goes away. I really do. I really do. Well, speaking of businesses, Burger King in Manhattan. Now, this Burger King is blocks from City Hall. Now, this is one of the reasons why I am surprised that this has even gone that far. Because this particular Burger King, blocks from City Hall, they say is overrun with drug dealers, junkies, unhinged vagrants, and it is out of control. And there's some angry neighbors, they call them, who is now suing Burger King for $15 million. Here we go with these lawsuits. Everybody's trying to get a dollar. Everybody's trying to get a dollar. But here we go. So they say that Fulton Street is turning into an open-air drug bazaar. Now, they say there's about 8 to 10, quote-unquote, professional drug dealers that have taken over the Burger King at 106 Fulton Street near Dutch Street. And they say this is the base of their operation. They sell illegal drugs at the entrance, or if the weather is inclement, they are on the inside. And they're saying, according to Supreme Court lawsuit, this guy's been living there for about 20 years, and he's had it. He said they've tried everything in the neighborhood. They have tried everything. Him and his other neighbors have tried everything to get these people out of there. And the only people who they feel are even concerned along with them, they say, are the cops. And the cops are doing everything that they can. But as soon as they're handcuffed and taken to, you know, jail and things like that, they say within a couple of hours to 24 hours, they are back out there. You see, he's raised his children in that Burger King, and he's not feeling it. He's not feeling it. They say there have been two arrests, real arrests. 143 calls to 911 since January of 2023. Now, you would think that if you got 143 calls since last year around this time, that you'd be doing something. So, I don't know. I'm going to give you some of the stuff they're talking about, and I want to see what you think, because I'm going to tell you what I think. Of course, I'm going to tell you what I think. They say that members of the group repeatedly enter and exit the restaurant. They never order food. They use the desolate space as their office. The apparent leader of the group sat at a table while sipping coffee from a Dunkin' cup and holding meetings with associates. Another member plopped down at a window seat to monitor the traffic outdoors while rolling his joints. What else are they saying? One of the group members in a black puffer jacket grabbed and pocketed cash from a haggard-looking man in a blue shirt before quickly handing off to him what may have been drugs. Two of the men, one dressed in a neon yellow vest and Air Jordan hat, sat on city bikes and knocked back Smirnoff vodka from plastic 200-milliliter bottles. You all up that close? Another man wearing a brown hoodie smoked a series of fat joints and peddled those loose cigarettes to Burger King customers leaving the restaurant, passerbys, and his associates. So I don't have to tell you who wrote this list, right? Because first of all, we don't call them joints. Even I call them blunt. So you know that they have been watching, and this is their account. Now, we're talking about being minutes from City Hall. With this level of activity, somebody knows something. And for some reason, they're being left alone. Now, if they were in our neighborhood, I don't know if all of this would be going on for this long. You're talking about a little over a year. So I don't know. Maybe you think it, maybe you don't. Let me know. I would love to hear from you. But they are really, really being allowed. And the man is even saying this is around the corner from the mayor. His office is right there. And it's like, yo, clean up. Clean up. And that's from another neighborhood resident. And he said he's lived there for 15 years. He's tired. He's fed up. They want to know how does Burger King is being able to stay open. No one's doing anything about it. That's another neighbor who's 40 years old. They said that the people are scared to go in there. They don't even want to walk their dogs back and forth. So I don't know, y'all. I don't know. It sounds like somebody turning their back. Now, how in the world you're operating, you're the mayor, and you're operating minutes away? Because, listen, everybody eats Burger King, right? So, you know some of your employees eat Burger King, and if that's the nearest one, they have stumbled across that activity. Now, call me crazy, but I don't care how, you know, big your position is. Everybody looking for a Whopper, a Big Mac, some White Castle, you know, something. Somebody got some fast food thoughts and a slice of pizza. Everybody's not eating from the expensive delis and all of that kind of stuff. And that's even if that's once or twice a month. So there's no way in the world that all those people working in City Hall have not at one point or another, even if you walk past it, because if they're saying that the activity level is the way it is, then you wouldn't have to go in the Burger King to notice the activity level, right? Right. So, come on, y'all. Let's get this going. Let's do a little better than this. So, I don't know. It sounds to me like somebody knows something is going on. So, oh, well. Oh, well. I don't know. Well, I got another sad story before I got this other story that's like, yo, this is crazy. So did you hear about the little 11-year-old boy? Oh, my goodness. So he's trying to defend his mom. Yeah, her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend. Now, again, we're talking about how these people get out of jail and nobody's protected. So now let's see the judge or the panel who gave him parole. What you think now that they are now mourning an 11-year-old life for your nonsense? So this guy, Crosetti Brand, who's 37, he's accused of stabbing the little boy in his chest. And the 33-year-old woman who he's been stalking is the mother of little Jaden. Now, let me tell you how this story goes, which is annoying to even hear yet again. So we have this guy. He was paroled on Tuesday. The next day, this happened. So he's paroled on Tuesday. He had served 16-year sentence for home evasion and aggravated assault. Now, if you serve 16 years for home invasion and aggravated assault, some real serious details are in this home invasion and aggravated assault, okay? Now, before I tell you about what happened that particular day, so he was out a day before he actually committed this crime. But here's the sick part. He had been serving this time. He was paroled back in October, okay? Now, afterwards, they found him stalking this woman, and they arrested him, but they let him back out. So, where were you doing? When? How? As you can see, I'm all twisted. How have you been on parole? You violated parole from stalking this woman, and that wasn't enough for you to throw out the parole? Now, here's the sad part. She had a lifetime order of protection against him for more than 15 years. This ain't the first time she's had problems with him. So for 15 years, for more than 15 years, she's had a lifetime order of protection, right? He goes to jail. He serves time. They let him out on parole. During this time, he stalks her, the very one who has the lifetime protective order against him. They hold him for a little while, and then they release him from parole. He ends up back at this woman's house. They were leaving so they could she could take her boys to school, and he attacks. And the little boy, little Jaden, stood in between his mother, who's expecting, and the guy, and he ends up stabbing him multiple times in the chest. Mom was injured, but she was okay. This is the negligence. Who let you out? I hope you never get another day of sleep in your life. You don't deserve to get another day of sleep in your life. This woman had, first of all, here's my thing. If someone has to get a lifetime protective order against you, then you ain't got no business ever being out of jail. That doesn't normally happen. Yes. Yep. Do you know they let people out, and there were some people right now walking the street with, they're on parole forever. Yes. Your crime has been so bad that you are on parole forever. Yes, yes. I know someone who knows someone. And they were like, Steph, for life. And that's, as a matter of fact, two people have told me that, plus I've read that. So to me, once that happens, oh, you jacked up. You jacked up. You don't never need to be on the streets again. So you allow him to be paroled in the first place. Then he violates. You let him out again. And the very person who he violated, he ends up killing her child. No. I hope you never sleep again. I hope every time you close your eyes, that's what you see. Yeah, I know you say, Pastor Steph, that's extreme. But, yo, this is crazy. This is crazy. And people are suffering from the negligence of these people who are supposed to be in charge, who are really sleeping at the wheel. Yo, what were you looking at that said, oh, you know what? I know he violated. But he violated, not just violated parole, period. He violated parole against the same person who has a lifetime order of protection against him. And you really looked at that piece of paper, that file, and said, you know what? I'll trust him. Well, we see how far your trust level went. All right, real quick, I got one more story to tell you. Boy, do we have something to talk to the Due Time crew about this morning. All my Due Time crew is on today. I'm excited. Woo! We can get started in a little while. All right, so check this out. There is an orgy club. Do I want to tell that story yet? Hold on. Yeah, I want to tell that story yet. Okay, so there's this orgy club who has now run into problems. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So they say a prominent Brooklyn sex club that preaches safety, respect, and sex positivity has been accused of covering up sexual assault during its wild orgies, including one woman who said she was raped and two others who said they were slammed against walls. So here's how this goes. There was a couple who bought, a brownstone, and they started having sex parties. Well, the sex parties got so popular that, they were Bushwick townhouses, to be exact. They got so popular that they kept buying the homes next to it, the connecting homes. So now you have one big house that you just go from one to the other to the other to the other. So this has been going on for over a decade, and this is quite known in the neighborhood. This is nothing that people don't know what's going on. Well, listen, if you span 3-4 houses, then guess what? Everybody know, because probably your neighbors are participating. So what's happened is there have been not only this one woman who has claimed rape, but there have been other accusations of rape, and one other woman said that while the partying was going on, she's been kind of sexually assaulted right on the floor. People have watched, but they've done nothing. And now this is coming out because they have felt that, yo, ain't nobody paying me no mind. So they've gone to the people who run this club, and they say that, listen, I'm being badgered into having sex with other guests. I don't want to be a part of a particular orgy group, but now they're forcing me. And they've been complaining to the owners. And they say they have not been getting any justice. Now, a couple of other women have said, you know, when they have been partying there, there has been some roughhousing, and they've been slammed up against walls, and just the treatment. The treatment is just bad. Now, they feel they've been brushed aside. They've been ignored. Their complaints have been downplayed and downgraded, you know, where they've been told, oh, it's not that bad. Well, what else do you want when you in a den of hell? I mean, come on, y'all. And now I know y'all saying, come on, Steph, that's just a little too much. Everybody deserves some respect. Yes, you're absolutely right. Everybody does deserve respect. However, they describe this place as a daily and weekly cloak and dagger sex party orgy parade. People rent rooms to live. So, like, you know, we talked about, you know, people rent rooms in my house and, you know, over the years. And yeah, these people pay between $750 to $1,500 a month to rent a room in this house so they can have upfront clothes and non-stop action. This is what you sign up for when you decide that this is what you want in life. You enter into this building, whether you live there or not. You go into this building for the wild side of life. And I guess even the wild side of life can get too wild. Well, they are now complaining. They have gone to the press. They want some justice because the people who own this place have given them none. Ooh, honey, they say that this particular house is a big part of the community. And, you know, everybody knows about the how do they describe it? The wrongdoings. And they have multiple witnesses who can attest to these, you know, behavioral patterns. The organizers of these sex parties and things like that, they should treat them better because they are paying their money to be there, and they want justice. Wow. Where's my Pastor Jeff? Oh, my goodness gracious. Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff, you talking to the mute button? Okay. Maybe Pastor Jeff is, you know, I'll come back to Pastor Jeff. Let me talk to my Pastor KL. Oh, good morning, Pastor KL.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Roll that window up.
The window is up.
It is? Oh, my goodness. What a greeting, what a greeting, what a greeting. How are you, Pastor KM?
I'm just rolling on the river.
All right now. Pastor KL, boy, do we have some stories this morning. We're talking about this New York City Burger King. It's steps, blocks away from City Hall. They say that the drug dealing is in high effect. The drug dealers, the drug users, the all of the migrants are there, the vagrants, boy, migrants on my tongue, vagrants are there, they are selling right in front of the restaurant, if you will, if they don't get, you know, if it's raining or if it's too cold, all the activity goes on the inside of Burger King. They say that they have been complaining. No one's been paying them any attention. The only people that seem to care are the cops. The cops come in. They, you know, get them out of there. They sometimes handcuff and arrest them and take them in. But within 24 hours, these people are right back out there. And they're like, listen, I want my Burger King back. And since you won't do anything, I'm suing for $15 million. Now, either you're going to give me my Burger King or you're going to pay me $15 million. Woo. What you think?
First of all, I'm trying to figure out who they're suing.
Ah. So they, okay, so to answer that question, they are suing Burger King. He's suing Burger King for $15 million.
Yeah, I'm taking the slogan, have it your way, a little too far. Too far. Are you going to sue Burger King because of the people that comes through the door? No. Now, I do believe that the manager of the establishment or even the owner of their franchises should be able to do something about it. But you can't sue me. I have a right not to sell to you. But, I mean, go to another burger.
How about that? Don't go. I never understand it. People would rather sue. I guess he's figuring that maybe if he sues, you know, then if there's a lawsuit, then maybe that'll jolt them into doing the right thing. He said he's raised his children there. He's lived on the block for 20 years. He's raised his children there. And he's tired of the activity. He says, you know, he's gone all over the place trying to get some justice he hasn't gotten any justice, so this is his recourse, $15 million.
But you know what? I got a McDonald's down here. That every time you go, there's panhandlers in front of it. You go inside, your orders is wrong. You got a bunch of kids in there who's ghetto. So I've decided this is not the place for me. I'm spending good money, and I'm watching this show on the outside that I did not pay for. And then when I get inside, the stuff that I paid for, I can't get. Then what do I do? Do I get mad? No, this is how you run your establishment. I ain't mad at you. It's making you money, but it won't be making you my money.
Absolutely. I agree. I'm just not, you know, I've gotten to the point in my life, Pastor KL, you blessed to get my dollars. My dollars are Social Security dollars, and I'm not spending it everywhere. If I don't like the business, then I'm going to go take my money someplace else. I'm not, there's no point for me to prove by doing anything else other than knowing you can't get my money. I don't know. Maybe that's just us. Maybe that's just us, Pastor KL. All righty. Yeah. I know. Tell me about it. Oh, my goodness. Our antiquated way of thinking. Wow. All right. We're talking about this 11-year-old boy who has now lost his life because his mom's ex-boyfriend from many, many, many years ago was, I guess, some kind of attack or assault on her over 15 years ago. She had an order of protection put against him, and it was so bad that they gave her a lifetime order of protection against him. He served he was serving a 16-year sentence for home evasion and aggravated assault. Some group decided to give him parole. He was paroled back in October. He violated her order of protection. They locked him up, but then let him back out. And this go round, the day after he was out from parole again, he attacked the woman and her 11-year-old son, who stepped in to defend her, was stabbed multiple times, and he lost his life. And who lets these people out? Who releases them?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm with you. You know, after one, two, three, I mean, how many times you gonna give these people chances? These criminals are like cats. They got nine lives, and they just keep on coming, and we keep on want to put them back into society. You know, listen, I understand the second chance law, you know, but when you mess up that second chance, then you should have no more. You don't want to do better. There is no better in you, you know, and when there's no better in you, I don't care how much your monologue is before the board. Somebody needs to be able to see through that from actions.
Absolutely. Because you had a lifetime order of protection before you went in for the sentence. You have, and then you got sentenced to a 16-year term for home invasion and aggravated assault. So then you came up for parole. You shouldn't have even been able to come up for parole if you had a lifetime order of protection. So already, they really dropped the ball. They dropped the ball big time. Big time. All right, Pastor KL. The people who attend the orgy club and the sex parties They want justice. They feel that they deserve proper treatment. One woman says that she was raped. Another claimed that while out on the party floor that she was being harassed to have sex with some other individual, badgered to have sex and to be a part of an orgy group. Another couple of women said that they were thrown up against walls. They've made their complaints to the organizers and the owners of these homes, and, you know, they haven't gotten any justice. So now they're going to the press.
To me, that sounds ridiculous. Because, I mean, what did they thought it was? Best Little Whole House in Texas, the musical? They thought people were going to come out and sing and dance and all this other stuff. It was a whole house. I mean, it's almost like you go into the casino and you lost all your money. Now you're upset because the casino stole my money. I lost my money. You didn't lose it. You know where it's at? These are the chances you take when this is the kind of life you want to live. I mean, it's an orgy. Right there within the definition, it tells you what kind of... It's not a Holy Ghost party. It's sin. I just don't understand what you thought you were going to get from the sin house. I mean, no one was giving out tracts. That's all I'm saying. You know, so I don't know.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, Pastor KL, for joining us this morning. We'll be back to chat with you again. Let's see if Pastor Jeff is ready to chat now. Good morning, Pastor Jeff. You there?
Good morning.
Hey. How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Let's get to talking, Pastor Jeff. We talking about the Burger King that is out of control. We're going to call this out of control morning. The Burger King that's out of control, they're allowing all of this drug dealing to take place. They've made complaints. I've been here for 20 years, raised my children. I'm tired of talking. Nobody seems to care but me and the cops. I'm suing for $15 million. What you think?
Repeat that again. I'm sorry. That last part again.
Oh, he's raised his children there for 20 years. He's tired of complaining. He said he's been all over the place complaining. He said it seems like the only people that care, him and the police, who will come and lock the people up. They will not come and just, you know, see it and walk, you know, and leave. They will always do something, he says, when they come. So whether they clear out the place, I mean, the only way I guess they could post somebody out there, but they haven't done that. They've locked, you know, they've arrested some people. They've locked them up. They say, but within 24 hours, they're all back. So he's now suing for $15 million. What you think?
And he's suing who?
Burger King.
The Burger King.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, I don't understand why he thinks the Burger King, you know, he can sue the Burger King. I mean, the Burger King is a business. It's not asking for all of this stuff. And it's not like it's a smoke shop or a store that, you know, that should be drawing undesirables. You know, I don't understand, but I guess, you know, nowadays you can sue anybody. You know, you know, it doesn't even matter. Just sue them and just see what happens. You know, this is the country we live in.
I like that, Pastor Jeff. Sue them and see what happens. Wow.
I mean, you know, just might hit go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday We talked about the woman who had a child taken away, and when the father ended up killing the child, you know, she got $1 million. So, hey, like you said, anybody can sue. Let's sue and see what happens. I'm going to use, that's my new tagline, Pastor Jeff. I'm stealing that one. All righty.
That's what everybody's doing. I'm watching it.
Yeah.
You know, people, I know somebody trying to sue somebody for somebody else who's not even trying to sue. You know, like, they think they know somebody did something to somebody, and that other person is not even related to them, and they don't even want to, you know, want to sue. They don't want to be bothered, but they trying to sue because they believe that this happened. And I, you know, I don't want to tell the whole story, but it's a preacher doing this mess, and I'm sitting up here like, you know, look at people. They just sue, you know, just see what happens, you know. And, and sometimes they actually win, you know, with these crazy laws on the books and everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I want to sue you for getting me up early in the morning on the radio.
Well, man, I ain't got no 15 mil, so you would be very disappointed. And I think
I'm suing for the future mil you got, maybe your great grandkids.
You know, and that's what you know, that's really what these people are doing. You know, they're hoping for the best. And, you know, so it's really the time you waste going through all of this, again, trying to prove a point, it's ridiculous. Let's talk about this guy who was arrested, locked up, paroled, violated, was allowed to come back after the violation and end up murdering. What's your thought, Pastor Jeff?
Yeah. When I read that story, that just made me angry. I mean, it's you know, it's like the justice system. They go around and, you know, like crack the innocent people you throw in jail, you know, whatever, and you do all kind of stuff to them. And the ones that really need to be there and all that, they seem to, you know, you give them the break. Who paroled this guy? Because if
right.
there's a lifetime order protection, that means he is a very dangerous guy.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And being that dangerous, you know, jail don't, you know, for the most part, don't rehabilitate.
Right.
Just make you more dangerous.
Right.
So, it's the justice system for you, man. There's no real protection. Then they get mad when you get your gun, and blow somebody away, you know, and now they want to put you in jail forever, and you just try to protect yourself.
Yeah, this is really a tragedy that has happened, and, you know, I'm looking to see that there'll be a Jaden law soon. Because somebody's gonna pay for this one. Somebody's gonna pay for this. So there's gonna be some new law that comes out behind this, and my prayer is that it does, because this was unnecessary, truly unnecessary. But you know what?
This happens all the time. It's common.
It does.
This is not uncommon.
It does. No, it really does. It really does. It really does, but I'm just hoping that this time, you know, there will be some movement, you know, for the better, because this was really bad. This one was really, really bad. All right, Pastor Jeff, this last story where we having parties. Oh, my, but they feel that, you know, it's just there is a limit. There's a limit. I was looking for this blurb somebody said, and I'm so mad because I moved it. But what do you think, you know, about, you know, these people want justice?
I'm so sick of, you know, you're dancing with the devil and then get mad if you get burnt. You know, it's like stupidity. You know, you flirting around. What do you think? What kind of people you think go to orgy parties? You know, mm-hmm. it's like being in jail. Can you imagine being in jail and I want to sue because he stole my chocolate bar out of my locker? you know, and, I mean, that's all you got around you. It's thieves and this, that, and the other. You know, you going willingly to an orgy party, and then you want some rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, they do, Pastor Jeff.
And you want to sue because, what, you got limits on an orgy party? Listen, an orgy is an orgy. It's a bunch of freaks coming together and letting their lust fly. You might as well let the cat, the rat, the dog join in everything.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You're right, Pastor Jeff. You're right.
Listen, back in the days, I've been to a few of them. I used to go just to watch. And I remember when this dude grabbed my leg at one of the parties, and I was about to stomp him out, and my friends was like, "Yo, man, you at the party, man, you know, don't beat the guy up."
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. I'm like, yeah. I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. I was like, Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff. It's got a story.
You don't remember the club that was right on Linden? I think it's a 7-Eleven now. I think the 7-Eleven just closed down, though. But it used to be a club there. Right on Linden and like near Basin. Right on.
Okay.
Right on, what was it, Farmers?
That's Farmers, where the 7-Eleven was. Yes, Linden and Farmers.
That was the spot for the freaky parties. and anything went in there, and we would go up in there, me and my boys, you know. And what you expect to find up in there? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I'm considered kind of homophobic, but, you know, if I go to something like that and a dude try to holler at me, I can't get mad at him. I'm in his environment. Am I right?
You're absolutely right, and that's why when I read the article, I'm like, yo, really? You want justice when you go up in a place where it's nothing but wild. I'm sure there's a flashing light in there that goes wild. That's wild. I mean, what do you expect? This is what you sign up for.
Now, with these laws now,
uh-huh.
I said with these laws that they have on the books now where you can, 30 years ago, you could do this, I think I'm going to think about it and see who I can sue from the party for trying to touch me or trying to holler, you know?
You just might get somewhere these days.
I think Mayor Adams might have touched
my legs. Oh, my goodness. Boy, you never fail me, Pastor Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'll be back to continue our conversation. This morning, we've got a treat, a guest to our panel. You know her. You know her already. She talks to us about hair care. Yes, yeah, so you know our friend, our sister, Minister Gertie Gordon. So she's joining us today and seeing how if she can hang with the two crazies that we got on here. So let's say good morning to Minister Gertie. Good morning, Minister Gertie. Are you there? Are you talking to the mute button?
She quit already.
Wait, is she there?
I must have ran her off.
Oh, no. Wait.
Can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo. You what were you doing? But you were laughing. Were you laughing? And that's what happened to your voice. Oh my goodness!
She was at the orgy.
Oh my gosh! Oh my! You see, you can't eat. Behave. I'm getting ready to turn your mic off. I'm turning your mic off. Good morning, Minister Gertie.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness gracious! Well, we're gonna turn the music down real low so we can hear you. How you feeling despite the voice this morning?
I feel fine.
Okay. All righty. I can hear you. I can definitely hear you. Oh my goodness! Were you laughing at them in the background, and that made your voice worse?
Cracking up.
I'm sure you were.
I'm sure you were.
Because you didn't sound as bad last night. Already they've done some harm here, but you cannot sue. So let me let you know, don't even bother, because it's due time when Pastor Steph has no money. So do not even think about it. All righty. So we're going to see if we can take it light today. So you've got this Burger King, and our neighbor, our friendly neighborhood man, father, businessman is suing them for $15 million because they have not been doing their job. What you think?
Well, hopefully you can hear me, but historically in this country, things don't get done until someone shines a light on it and there's different interest groups, and normally the interest groups that have the financial backing make something an issue, bring it to the light, and then things get done. So, on the one hand, I'm not mad at him for trying to bring light to it. On the other hand, we know that this is happening all the time. I grew up in South Jamaica, Queens, and what he's experiencing in Burger King, I would experience with the local Chinese food stores, with the corner bodegas. It was happening. It's still happening. I do think that there is due diligence that the owner of the franchise and those in that particular Burger King should be responsible or take some initiative in what they allow to happen in their establishment. And if it's illegal, then by no means should it be allowed to continue. Being an owner myself, having three storefronts, there were certain things that it came as part of the course. It came with me owning the space. You know, I was responsible for, I think, two or three feet of the gutter of the street. I had to make sure it was clean. When I came in the morning, I had to make sure in front of my storefront was swept. I had to make sure it was, when the snow came, you know, I had to pay a carting company for the trash of the business. I couldn't just put it out on the curb. And so that's some things that you're responsible for when you own a business. $15 million, for some people, $15 million may be extravagant. For others, especially in the realm of business, it's not. And so I'm not mad at him for looking to sue. My bigger question would be, you can't just go up by yourself to sue. That's going to be an uphill battle, which may not get any traction. But so he would really need to get forces and get grassroots and get a lot of backing and really do a lot of work to get signatures and get his representatives and councilmen and even senators involved to make this, to make noise. And then, you know, something can happen. But what he's doing is nothing out of the ordinary or what should be expected of a business. Burger King is well-known, well-established. And so while the franchises are independently owned, the Burger King is a brand. It's a household name. And so that's most likely why he's choosing to go that route as opposed to suing the mom and pop corner bodega where the same thing is happening.
Absolutely. Yeah, he thinks he can get the money. He is definitely. $15 million ain't nothing for Burger King. So, yeah, I'm going to try. If I don't get $15 million, maybe I get $5. Maybe I get $500. He's figuring I'll get, Pastor Jeff said, you know, let me sue and we'll see what happens. I may not be able to get all of that, but at least I'll make enough noise that if I sue and I win for whatever the particular charge is, that maybe then it'll be some change. So you're right. I ain't surprised either because everybody's suing, and then suing. All righty. We're talking about this.
If he's at a place where he feels helpless, and so trying to make the noise and backing the noise, quote, unquote, with a lawsuit, that's normally people's recourse. That's normally the route people feel when they have no other way to go.
Yeah, yeah. So I am definitely looking to follow up on this story. We've got this guy who has gone to jail, been a menace, been paroled, locked back up, been paroled again, and now here we are. He is an official murderer at this point, and unfortunately, murder of an 11-year-old.
Right. The unfortunate thing is that this isn't isolated case. This happens so much. It happens all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dear friend I grew up with, Mackenzie, and she lived, I grew up in South Jamaica, and she lived on Lakewood, and at 20, she was involved, she had a relationship with this gentleman, and she got married. They ended up having a child together. He was very, very abusive, very overprotective, wanted to alienate her from everybody. She got a restraining order against him also, her and their child at the time. And even with the restraining order, he came in, shot her, shot the child, and then killed himself. But, I love that. The thing with our justice system is broken. You know, when you look at how laws are written and how things are established, oftentimes the letter of the law doesn't coincide with the essence of the law and what it should do. So certain things that is common sense to us, what may look like common sense, it's not, that's not how
absolutely
read it or how the law is played out. And unfortunately, once again, we're seeing a child, an 11-year-old, was a victim of a false system.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I wish I could say that this would be the last time.
Right,
unfortunately,
right.
Unfortunately, it's not.
Right.
Does that mean that we're not vigilant and we don't try to fight and try to do what's best? You know, we continue to try to. However, this is just underlining and highlighting a faulty system. You know, our justice system has cracks and breaks in it. While some things, they were built, the intention may have been there, it's not played out that way. And the way law is actually practiced and what the letter of the law says and how you can look at a case and the verdict or the determination on how that case plays out doesn't always coincide with what we would think to be common sense or even normal sense.
Right.
All these issues, and sometimes it becomes a difference between what's the law and what's moral, and the two don't always walk together. We would like morality. We would like morality to be in line with what's legal, but unfortunately, it's not. This is a really sad example of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, I have a... No, I didn't hear the last piece you said. You said something else? I'm sorry.
Master, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Okay.
I have a blurb that I want to read for the last story. And about the the people who are complaining about the revelers who are going above and beyond what they should be doing. And one of the owners said, "Why are we always aim for zero instances of harm at our organization? The very nature of this kind of sexual expression does have some risk." What you think?
Once again, can you hear me?
Yes.
Once again, the first thing I thought about was I do not understand how there are so many people who do not believe that there is universal truth out there. Like, people believe everyone has their own truth, right? But this is a perfect example. This is a perfect example that there is universal truth. And even in the realm of overt hedonism, right? You still are finding those within that realm that are crying out for injustice. Well, we could look at it and, like, scratch our head, like, this is par for the course. Look at what you signed up for. How can you now complain about what's not right within it? But this is it's undergirding, underlying the fact that universal truth does exist, okay? And so back to what I was saying about the letter of the law. So they are being injured. We're feeling injured even though we all know the whole game is immoral, right? But does that take away from the fact that even while playing an immoral game, that there's some ways that they can feel like they're being violated within that immorality? And so while it can be comical to us and makes no sense, if they were to go to a court of law and now present a case, they can, if they present a good enough case, can actually win. It doesn't
possibly
matter that we, it doesn't matter that we think and that we know what they're doing is immoral to begin with. How are you in poop? How are you in poop and then now going to complain about how bad it smells? You're in it. But even in the poop, and no matter how bad it smells, you still have a right to want to argue to the degree of the stench.
right. Somebody's overstepped their bounds, and that's life. That's life. That's the way
right.
we all live. We all step into a zone where we, you know, where we should know what's coming, and then now we can't take it. It's too much. Somebody just went too far. And, yeah, I do not doubt for one second that if this were to hit a courthouse, that it would be a valid case. I wouldn't doubt it. Listen, with all of the stuff that's going on out here, I would not doubt it, that they would even win. So, you know, they'd have a fight, but you never know what the outcome would be.
Also, think of it this way. Those of us who are looking to live a just life, even in living quote-unquote right, we experience injustices. You know, we want to say that. So how much more with someone who's not living right? It's on time that you're not even living right. So of course you're going to want to argue with any little thing that's not going right for you. Like, it's craziness. It's craziness.
It is.
So my biggest thing is that's further proving that there are universal truths. We can't ascribe to everyone what's true for each person has their own truth.
Right.
It's not true.
Absolutely.
There's not truth.
Absolutely.
There's universal truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Minister Gertie. Absolutely. Oh, thank you for joining us this morning. Pastor KL is driving, so he may have fallen into some kind of dead zone. So I will move forward. Unfortunately, hopefully he'll be able to call back in and he'll catch up with us. All righty. There is a story, and our friend Michael Todd, I think he's just bored with life, and he just wants to stay in the limelight. And, you know, we've briefly talked about, you know, the whole spitting and stuff that happened, you know, during his sermon. You know, it was him and his brother. And you just add time after time after time. Well, this time he is in the news, if you will, because he poured syrup and whipped cream on the Bible during his sermon. I did watch a small clip of the video, and he says, apparently Christians were told to disrespect the Bible all month. And it's in his demonstration, he's trying to say that people are not respectful of the Bible. So as he's pouring syrup and whipped cream on the Bible and people in the congregation are gasping, he's saying to them, well, please, please, you know, don't act like, you know, this bothers you, because, you know, you are disrespecting the word of God anyway. So now all of a sudden this is supposed to be some type of major offense when the word of God is constantly going forward, and yet you don't pay any attention to it anyway. Shanti's, pay attention, because I'm gonna pull you in. You don't pay attention to it anyway. Also during the there's some other stuff he did, and I'm gonna kind of throw that in. Pastor Jeff, what say you about the point he was trying to make, and do you think he went too far?
I think he has been going too far with all the stuff that he's been doing. You know, he seems like he wants to be so close to, you know, the young people, the in crowd, you know, with, you know, from his hair to his dressing to everything. He feels he has to do this, and he has to be extra, and he does this stuff for the publicity that comes with it. So, you know, he's over the top with a lot of stuff he's doing, you know, trying to stay in with the trend. So,
okay.
You know, that's my opinion on him. Not saying, you know, he's doing any sinning now, but he is, you know, he wants to seem like really fit in with the world. Maybe that's his strategy to draw him in, but I think he's kind of going over the top on everything, you know, with all the trends and everything he's doing. So that's where I'm at with him.
Okay. Minister Gertie, what's your thought?
I think that a lot of times people fall, especially when you're, like, surrounded by or in the things of God, I think you start out by saying it. Sometimes people lose that reverence, and not only lose the reverence to think of God, have such an itch to want to quote unquote be relevant that their attempt at trying to make a statement and be so extreme ends up being profane, you know? And so I think a lot of times these ministers, to make a point, lose the point in their method, you know? And so we got to be very careful about that. We got to be very careful about taking the things of God to a place where we're trying to be so relevant that we lose the reverence. And I think he's a perfect example of that. And it's like, who is, does he have covering? Who's counseling him? Who's guiding him? Who does he get counsel from his body? Or is he relying on self? You know? Mm-hmm. You know how you see people, you're like, they ain't got no friends. You ain't got no friends. Why are you wearing that? You know? Kind of like that. Like, did you really pray about this or wait on God's leading for that? And oftentimes you'll see that it falls flat, or as we'll say, you know, there's no oil there because, you know, while your intention may have been, you may have had good intentions, the delivery or the method by which you're doing it missed. It missed.
Big
you know,
time.
People are trying to be so provocative to the point where you miss, it's a fine line between being provocative in a holy way and provocative where it's just like, nah, that's not it. That's true, but that ain't it.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Shantice, I'm calling on you. You're my wonderful, wonderful fill-in. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
Morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. So what you thinking about Pastor Todd and his message of, you know, listen, y'all not paying attention to the Bible, no way. So if I pour syrup all over it, squeeze some and get some whipped cream and pour it all over there, you shouldn't be disturbed. Stop. You know, as the people were gasping, it was like, stop acting like this bothers you. What say you in this whole message, if you will?
Well, as they used to say in the streets, you doing the most. And what comes to mind is this really how you feel about the Word of God?
Ooh.
And you're using this as an opportunity to display how you feel, but you're trying to make it seem like you're trying to show how others feel. Because I don't even feel comfortable when I don't feel like I put my Bible up properly. Like, if I'm using my Bible and it's like, okay, let me just put it here real quick. I don't feel comfortable when I don't feel like it's set aside in an organized way, or it looks, you know, like if it's just thrown aside real quick, like, you know, if there's a little clutter in my space for a little bit and the Bible's there, that doesn't even feel comfortable to me. So how is it that your clergy and your work, your job is to encourage people to respect the Word of God in every form, to respect the Word of God physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And because you're trying to, quote-unquote, prove a point, you're now going to destroy a hard copy. Like, no, that's how you really feel.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Didn't think about it that way. All right. So, you know, as I continued to view this video, he took some Cheetos and eggs and all kinds of food, and he threw it all over the stage in some type of example towards, like, health and wellness. And now I'm going to intermingle that kind of mix it up with the fact that, you know, there's another interview that he gave where, since he's done the spitting sermon, he's been losing people. And his predominantly, his congregation is predominantly young people. And now he's upset with the fact that he's now losing people. And some people have told him that, you know, the Lord, you know, has, directed me to kind of leave this. And his feeling is, hey, you know, God wouldn't direct people to leave. And now you are at this point because this is one of his more recent sermons that he's given. Minister Gurdy, are people getting tired?
People getting tired in general? Like, people getting tired in ministry? People getting tired in church.
Right, in church. We're talking about, you know, how these people are dedicated. They are loving him. They are enjoying him. There was one young lady who did an article about his this whole episode with him pouring syrup and whipped cream on the Bible, throwing the food around during his sermon. And she says when she first came to the Lord, she went there. And she said, you know, that's when she was drinking milk. She said, but I'm not drinking milk anymore. And I cannot accept this behavior anymore. And are people getting tired of these leaders and church and the behavior in church?
I think you're going to get a combination of all sorts. You know, we're all at different levels spiritually. So, and then you find different people that certain people appeal to their appetite, touching on what Shanti shared. If you have a certain affinity or where you are spiritually, if you find somebody exemplifying that or putting that, you're going to be drawn to that. Whereas if you get to a point where your spiritual walk is developed or growing or changing, that's no longer going to be appetizing to you. And so, as that woman said, when she first came to the Lord as a babe or very immature spiritually or what have you, that served the purpose for her then. But as she's grown and matured and developed, you move on. We find it all the time where we can outgrow spiritually a place that once fed us. And so I think you're going to always find someone that's going to be aligned with foolishness or immaturity or that which is profane. And you find others who outgrow it, who are at a different level, and who no longer have an appetite for that. But anything you'll find with, there'll be someone that will be attracted to it, you know, whether it's in the church or not. I think for those of us who have been in the church for a while and who have been walking with God for a while and really sincerely are looking to just walk and live this life, that, yeah, we're tired of the foolishness that we're seeing, both on a public stage and individually in churches across the U.S., churches across the world. I think there's a growing number of people who are exacerbated with where church is. You know, I do believe that there is such thing as the black church, that there are different sects of Christianity, of believers, and how our faith is expressed. I do believe that there are differences, and there's a growing number of people who are tired of church as is and who want more and who want to go into deeper depths with God and how God, our relationship with God, is expressed on earth. You know, there are those of us, myself included, who I'm both spiritual, but I do also believe in organized religion. I do believe there's a place for it. Now, where denominations come in, I have my opinions and my thoughts, you know. Do I think denominations are biblical? I don't. Now, that's opening a whole other can of worms, right? However, to answer your question in a nutshell, do I believe people who are really serious about God and the things of God are tired? To a certain degree, yes. But do we still remain hopeful and we know that God does leave a remnant? I believe that also. Do I believe that there's a place for the church? Absolutely. And do I believe that God will allow us to implode? I don't. You know, the word is clear and says God is not returning until his church is without spot or wrinkle. Do we feel like we're a long way from that? Absolutely. But do I believe God's word? I do. Well, I still stand on God's word. I will to the day I die. And so how God chooses to work that out, I'm here for it. I'm here to see it and witness it. And as long as I have breath, as much as I can, to be God's mouthpiece or to be a true image bearer, you know, I pray God gives me the grace to do that.
All right. All righty. Shantice, do you feel people are getting tired of what they're seeing?
Absolutely, because again, you're doing the most. You don't need all of these theatrics. Do you need to have some, you know, some style and flavor? Absolutely. The Bible tells us that God will give you, he gave you to be the salt of the earth. So, yes, you're not supposed to be up there all boring and dry. However, all of this extra, all these extra things that are being done that you believe are adding, you're really taken away. And that's why people are like, I can believe God saying, you know what, to protect my relationship with you, because what a lot of clergy do not understand is a lot of pastors are responsible for the damage between people and God, because they're not necessarily blaming the pastors, even though the pastors are the ones that's damaging the relationship. They're looking at God, and now their relationship with God is torn up. So I can see God saying, you know what, before I allow this to happen, I will remove you from here, and I will set you up somewhere else where that pastor takes my word a lot more serious, because this here is just like, it sounds like you're running a circus. It's a circus. First, you're spitting on someone in the name of displaying what Jesus did according to you. Now you're making a hot fudge sundae and waffle, chicken and waffles out of the Bible. It's like, what are we doing right now? It's just way too much. So how do you expect someone to now focus on the word that you say God has given you to give if this is what they're really walking away with? Because if I saw you do that, that sticks out more to me than whatever you said the Bible said. So, yeah, I feel like it's too much, and people are getting really tired.
All right. Ooh. You ladies are saying some stuff. Pastor Jeff, wrap this up for us. What do you think people are feeling? Are they getting tired of what these pastors have to offer?
There's an old song we used to sing, "Can't You See the Clouds Gathering?" Don't let it be said too late. I believe that, you know, and I don't want to get too spiritual, but I really believe that we're in a shift right now to, you know, almost old-time religion. Remember, we're in a shift that God is really calling for us to really project holiness and everything else. And the enemy is tricking a lot of us into all of this to be more in the flesh, thinking that's how we're going to draw them, when this end time revival is going to be drawn by supernatural power, anointed power, laying before the Lord, and really, you know, letting God do his thing, letting God get the glory, let him draw them, lifting Jesus up. So, you know, people, you're going to have these preachers are going to see that what their marketing stuff is not going to be effective in this hour. It's going to start to wane, and that's what's happening. You know, and you know, he's a young boy, and he, you know, he's trying to stay on the trend, you know, but he better get on the holiness trend and become a Elijah. You know what I'm saying?
All righty.
I'm watching preachers that I know gradually go into that same vein. I'm just watching it. I mean, you know, even some that are connected to me, you know, closer than I'm watching it just It's not on Jesus no more. The spotlight is on them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, my Due Time crew, for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day. Welcome to our show today. Minister Gertie, you are not a newbie to It's Due Time, but we pray that you are feeling much better.
Amen. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You. Thank
you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Have a blessed day, everybody. All righty. Let's get that benediction. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. As a matter of fact, let's do this. Let's take this time to go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for just another day and opportunity to just soak up everything you have for us, God, the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, God, the breath of life that you have breathed into each and every one of us, God, the opportunity we get to either minister or to hear your blessed word. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the Due Time crew, dear God, who have come through this morning just to give your word, just to help us understand more and more of what you've given so that we can receive. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just paying the bills and enabling us to even minister and listen and hear your word, God, despite where we are geographically. But we are all on one accord, and we thank you for just loving us in a special way, in a way that only you can, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up the families of all of those who have been victimized by the negligence of the court system, of the people who are in place to do a specific work, God. We pray for the family of the 11-year-old boy, dear Heavenly Father. We know that is a blow that will take your breath away, will shift and change your life, God. And we're even praying for the one who committed the crime, that you would touch his heart, dear Heavenly Father, touch his mind, touch his spirit, that there would be some repentance, and that he would come to you, dear Heavenly Father. And that anyone who is around him, that you would even use him, dear Heavenly Father, as a worker in your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we're just grateful that we know you. We're grateful that you have introduced yourself to us in a special way. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your investment. You're investing in us just one more time. All we have to do is just tune in. Just be still and listen, God. We give you the glory and the honor today. And we thank you. We thank you again for your perfect gift of love, understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Boy, we've had some stuff to talk about here today. And as I listen to, you know, what our Due Time crew had to say about Michael Todd, you know, you just realize that there's just a falling away of a couple of things. There's those who will be deceived. The word says that even the very elect, you know, will be deceived. And you do find a shift of awareness. you know, an understanding of who God is and what his expectations are. And, you know, as God is drawing his people closer to him, you are going to find more who are tired, who are growing tired of the shenanigans that's coming from the pulpit. Yeah, you know, we do know that, you know, they said that, you know, it'll come a time where, you know, people want their ears tickled, that, you know, where some people found the display, you know, from the pulpit a disgrace, others will find it amusing. And we will always be split like that. But I do agree with the fact that things are taking a shift. You know, we are seeing that people are thinking a little more seriously. And you have to. It has to be that shift. There's no way in the world God would allow, you know, all of this to take place, all of these crimes we're talking about, and, you know, everybody's looking for a dollar in their pocket, whether they have a right to ask for it or not. You know, everybody's looking for a dollar because there's always an alternative. There's always an alternative, you know, to the dollar. But everybody's suing. Like I said, you know, yesterday we talked about the woman who did not do her job as a mother. How often do they take children from the mothers and give them to the fathers? You really had to be in some bad state for that to even happen, because that does not happen very often. And you got $1 million for the injustice. The first injustice was your lack of mothering. So, yeah, you know, as Pastor Jeff said, you know, I'm going to sue and see how, you know, see how what happens and how it works for me. But there are, you know, more people who are really coming to a realization that, you know what, I need Jesus. There has to be a better way. There has to be something better than this. I'm tired of living like this. I see that it's not going anywhere. I see that there needs to be a change. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired. Now, it's one thing to feel that way, but the thing we have to do is make the move. It's a blessing to be able to get to a point where you're just tired of being sick and tired, but what are we going to do? Are we going to sit and talk about it, or are we going to sit and are we going to get up, rather, and make a move? Because just sitting and talking about it really doesn't get us very far. So, you know, we want to make sure that when God does touch our hearts, when he touches our lives, that we move on it. That we don't just sit around and just watch the world move all around us and we don't make a move. Because, again, we don't know when our last moment will be. So am I going to sit around and wait until somebody says something or does something or something happens tragic in my family or something happens tragically to me? I'm looking at several people who love to talk. Oh, talking was their thing. Love to talk. And now they can't talk. Some illness has happened and they're not who they used to be. And every time I look at these individuals, I say to myself, now everything is internal. It's between you and God, because you're not dialoguing with anybody. And, you know, who's to say that that's not the way God made it? I remember the last time anyone spoke to my mother was New Year's Eve. Terry, my sister, spoke to my mother New Year's Eve, and they intubated her. She was having a hard time talking. They told her she had to come up off the phone because she was having difficulty, and shortly after that, they intubated her, and she was never able to come off. And I remember praying and saying to God, you got her now. You got her 100% attention now. She can't talk, no matter how much she may want to talk, she can't talk to nobody now. But my prayer is that she takes the time now to speak to you. That was my constant prayer. And I do believe that there are times when God makes that kind of move, which, you know what, now it's you and I. All that talking, you were doing everybody else, because she would, when she could talk, she was making phone calls. She was calling us. And I realized that that was a time, and she passed away 25 days later, passed away that same month. And that was my prayer. My prayer was that, you know what, God, she can't talk to none of us now, seven of us, that she would talk to. And the last time we talked, we all talked to her at the same time. And she just kept calling back, just kept calling back. And right not too long after that, she couldn't talk to anybody. So when I look around at people who can no longer converse with others, I say and I pray that you take that time, that sometimes God has got to shut that down for you so that you can now focus on him. Because if we had the opportunity to talk to people, that's exactly what we would do. And the more we talk to people is the less time we actually spend talking to God. And take the opportunity. Take the opportunity. Take the opportunity. If God is touching you to spend more time with him, if God is touching you and allowing you to see these things go on, you're like, you know, something ain't right about that. Something ain't right about you pouring syrup on the Bible and whipped cream on the Bible because you say that we don't pay attention to the Bible, no way. Well, regardless of whether we pay attention to the Bible or not, whether we ignore it or not, we're not going to destroy it, the very essence of it. You know, some of us are very meticulous about the way we handle our physical Bible because it means just that much, but we ain't paying no attention to what's going on inside of it. So now there is a shift. I am seeing a shift. It might be a slight one, but I am seeing a shift where people are paying a little more attention and people are saying, you know what? There's something that I believe God is trying to get my attention. And, you know, I believe that God wants me to do this or to do that, or God wants me to stop doing this or doing that. And I'm hearing this conversation a little more. I'm hearing these words a little more. And thank God that people are catching it. But please do not ignore it. Make that move. And get up. Get up and follow the voice and the leading of the Lord. Because here's one thing I do know about God. He's not going to begin a process that he's not going to continue. He's not going to finish. If he started it, he's going to finish it. But you have got to position yourself. I really understand that we've got to position ourselves for us to be used by God and for the changes to be made. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to just accept Christ as your personal Savior. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Wow Wednesday. Until then, I love you.